Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, today we're going to end this week on an upbeat note. We are going to find out how we can be sexy in our 60s. Yes, now maybe you haven't reached that number, but if you're a young person, I think that you need to realize that if you're fortunate enough, you're going to be able to reach that time in your life. But how can you turn it around? The 60s are not what they used to be. When you look at the old movies, you see somebody in their 40s and they look like they were 150. Well, that's not the case today. Why? Well, we're going to be finding out. My guest is Joan M. Bunny. She's going to share with us how we can naturally reverse the aging process and rejuvenate our lives. Joan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna.
I met Joan, I have to tell my audience this, I met Joan when I was at the women's show. She had a booth, and we had a chance to interact, and she knew about my show, and she knew that I reviewed books, so she handed me her book, Sexy in Your 60s. And I just think she did such a wonderful job, and when I went through it, I thought, wow, this is information that anybody can benefit, male or female, but hey, gals, we're really especially talking to you. You know, when we get up into our 60s, we want to look good. We don't want to look like something that was dumped out of the garbage truck. We want to really look good. Why? Because 60 isn't old anymore. And Joan is going to educate us on this. Joan, you have developed this attitude. This was something for you when you were putting it together. You really didn't have a clue that you were going to end up writing a book one day about being sexy in your 60s, did you?
Had no idea. No idea whatsoever. It was in my subconscious mind, though, for a very long time. And it took a number of things in my life to cause it to come forward and come alive and join the conscious mind and be able to sit down and write the book. But until I traveled a lot of life journeys, experiences, and learned from those things, I wasn't ready to write it until I was at this chronological age.
Tell us some of those things that you went through. The saying is we never know the walk that someone else has experienced unless we are in their shoes, so to speak. And by telling your stories, I think it will enable some of my listeners to understand how you evolved to where you are.
Yes, and you know, I decided with writing this book to just bare my soul, because what did I have to lose? Absolutely nothing. And if there was somebody else whose life I could spark or get them over a difficult time, given my experiences, therein was the blessing for me. And, you know, we all have pretty much exactly the same things that happen to us in life. It's just our circumstances that might be a little bit different. And we all emote the same emotions. We all have feelings of fear, anger, hate. I'm talking about the dark side of ourselves here.
Oh, sure.
You know, all of those things, we all emote them. We all have them. So I believe it's extremely healthy for us to be able to share those things and not be embarrassed by them, because we all have the capacity to come through the journey. And when we hear other people's journeys and what they have come through, which basically my book, as you know, Donna, is pretty much comprised of a number of mentors and or other people's books over the years that I've read that got me through some of my difficult journeys. Probably the most difficult journey that was the header for writing the whole book was when I relinquished my baby boy up for adoption in 1967. I had just turned 21 years old. Those were back in the days when there was terrible, terrible stigma around unwed mothers. In fact, that's what we were blatantly called. And many of the times, our family and our mothers asked us to leave the house because we were such an embarrassment. I had a cousin who actually was had to go out of the country. I've had other friends that I know have met so many men, women over the years, now that I have gone through this, and I've done some mentoring now for Children's Home Society, the people that took me under tow. back in those days. But that was a situation where my mother's generation was so judgmental and disproving, and I think it did something to our mothers back then. It was like a reflection. My behavior was a reflection on my mother, mm-hmm. and that is why they distanced themselves from us and from the circumstances and from my mother and I. It took me 32 years to go through life, learn the lessons, build up the courage to finally go and seek my son. And in those 32 years, my mother and I never spoke one word about the pregnancy, about the 36-hour labor that I went through by myself, a breech birth back then, which is part of another part of the story, because I had this baby vaginally. This was not a C-section. It goes to show you what the woman's body is.
Hi, this is Donna. I apologize. We're having some technical difficulties. But, Joan, let's continue on. When you have a statement in your book that I really thought was quite impressive, you touch in a little bit of history. The women of the 19th century second-class citizens, they were, within male-dominated societies, were treated in a manner not unlike that which is still the bitter experience of blacks in the United States and in many parts of the world. Now, this is coming from the material Growing Young by Ashley Montague. Yes. Traits mythically attributed to blacks today were for many generations saddled upon women. It's amazing. Now, this is a quote directly from that person's book. It's amazing how culturally, and this can happen anywhere in the world, it's not just in the United States, we will shift from one group to another. So women were put in that particular categorization, and then it was, shifted. Actually, it was going on, as far as I'm concerned, at the same time. We have
yes.
all of these serious things that go on, and the only way to get past it is by being aware that we empower what we want to empower, not to empower that which we don't want.
Yes.
How did you discover this about yourself? When did you discover you could take your own power into your own life?
It's been an ongoing journey in that respect. You know, we bite off pieces bit by bit as we go through life and experiences. And once we learn and understand that the most difficult experiences and the most difficult people in our lives, as we see it at the time, basically are those people and those things that provide us with the greatest rewards. So I always encourage people not to become downtrodden when they're going through their most difficult times, because those actually are the lessons for us to take us to the next level and catapult us into a happier life. And I think that it happened all through life. A huge part of it was finding my son 32 years later, and that was the most magnificent thing. My mother still, when I began the search, I called her on the phone that morning and said, I'm going to start searching for my son. And you could tell that she still carried that fear around with her, because the first thing she said to me was, what if he does not want to see you? And mm-hmm. my retort to her was, I really don't care. I've prepared myself for everything. He could be dead. He could be in jail. He could be a heroin addict. He could slam the door in my face, but I told him that morning in the hospital when I held him that I was just loaning him out for a while and I would be back. So that was such a healing time. And then once, of course, my son met my mother and put his arms around her, everything that had happened in the past, Donna, melted away. And mm-hmm. unconditional love took over, because until unconditional love of everything takes part, then nothing can heal. And another part in the book that I have, the chapter that is about radical forgiveness, but not just radical forgiveness of others, that I have to radically forgive my mother, radically forgive the era of that time, society. I had to radically forgive myself. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge, huge thing. We have a very difficult time. We're very hard on ourselves, very hard to forgive ourselves, but it's very necessary to heal.
I don't think lots of times people realize they need to forgive themselves.
I know.
I think that in that process, realize that they don't have to continue to carry them, but this is how they've been taught they're supposed
yes.
to. So it goes on and on and on until they're fortunate enough, like you, to be able to have this liberation that as a mature woman, you're looking forward to your older years in life. You're not you're not looking at them as, oh my goodness, I'm going to be like one of these gray-haired old biddies. It was in, you know, the 1940s portrayal. I mean, you look at those movies from the 1940s, and the women that were in their 40s looked like they were 120.
Yes, yes. Well, not only looked like it, but that was their mindset, too. So this is also about changing the mindset, you know, shattering that old generational conditioning and putting yourself in a new place. You know, the goddess cultures back hundreds and thousands of years ago, there's three phases to a woman's life, all based on our menstrual flow, the maiden, the mother, and the crone. The crone being once you become postmenopausal, and the goddess culture tells us that this is the most rewarding, most wonderful time of a woman's life. This is a time when we come into our mastery on all levels, and this is when our gifts come forth, and this is the time to enjoy life as never before. And that also was a total awakening to me. In the book, I go into the goddess culture, and my archetypes. We all have the goddess archetypes in us, all women do. Unfortunately, in this country especially, women do not at all have a handle on their culture and where they come from, that because of, again, societal dogma, religious organizations that want to keep the truth from us, actually, and keep us from reaching into our power and our mastery. Back in the days of the Salem witch hunts, the women they were after were the crones, postmenopausal, because of our powers, because of our intuitiveness, because of our psychicness, because of our healing properties. We had way too much power. And I'm finding now that it's wonderful that if we look around, we can see now that the crone power is coming back worldwide, because the divine feminine is back to heal the balance of the planet.
Now, part of being sexy in your 60s is looking good and feeling good.
Yeah.
And this is something you go into in great depth in your book, because you are in your 60s. You're very proud of it. And the people would not necessarily know that you were in your 60s, but you really did a turnaround with yourself physically as well as mentally. But tell us what you did in your life to change how you looked, and it wasn't plastic surgery either. I mean, just change it. There's nothing wrong. If someone wants to do that, that's fine. But it's more than that. Let's go into that a little bit.
It is much more than that. And on the in the title of the book, you know, naturally is a really telling word. I had a when I was 5 years old, they thought I had rheumatic fever. My mother had to take me into my doctor twice a week, having blood drawn out of my little arms. And on that one day, we went in, and all my little veins had collapsed. And he drew blood out of the jugular vein in my neck, and I've never forgotten it. But I do believe that it happened for a reason. I believe everything happens for a reason. And what it did was gave me an aversion to needles, which has kept me away. I always say, thank God I'm not a heroin addict or a diabetic, because I don't know what I would do. And so that has made a difference in what I choose naturally, how I choose naturally to reverse this aging process. But I'm just like other women, no different at all. You know, going to having children. Once I had children, oh my gosh, my whole body, you know, this yo-yo weight gain up and down and here and there. In my early married days, my ex-husband and I used to own a Tex-Mex restaurant. I lived on cheese burritos and refried beans, and I got huge for my height weight proportion. And so I learned about some exercise resistance training back then, but still, even after that, I would get lazy, I would get sedentary, and so, not until 4 years ago, when I turned 60 years old on a beach, was I reading a book by Sang Wang, called Reverse Aging, and it had to do with the body's pH balance. And we rarely ever hear the doctors talk about this, but it's the truth of every body on the planet. We all have a pH balance. It's a potential hydrogen balance. It's your acidic and alkaline balance of your body through your tested by your blood, and it can be tested by your urine also. properties, my body was in a state of acidosis. Mostly it comes from eating the wrong kinds of food, which are those foods that are altered, processed, refined, sugared, you know, fast, not that I ate fast foods, I always ate well, but even like red meat, I have cut so far back on things like that that caused the body to become acidic. And when that happens, your body ends up, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul and is in a state of distress. It conglomerates down in your colon and it causes problems and it can cause disease and illness and everything else. So I educated myself about that, changed the way that I ate. Now, don't, you know, I am human, so once in a while I'll help myself to a little bit of chocolate or, you know, something that might be a little acidic, but for the most part, I try to keep my food.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.